जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी, गोपी जन वल्लभा गिरिवर धारी, गोपी जन वल्लभा गिरिवर धारी, यशोदनंदना ब्रज जन रंजना, यशोदानंदना ब्रज जन रंजना, यशोदानंदना ब्रज जन रंजना, यमुना तीरावनचारी, यमुना तीरावनचारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी, गोपी जन वल्लभा गिरिवर धारी, यशोदनंदना ब्रज जन रंजना, यमुना तीरावनचारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवतीरुत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। हरे कृष्ण। सो वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम द फर्स्ट कैंटो 13th चैप्टर टाइटल्ड धृतराष्ट्र क्विट्स होम, टेक्स्ट नंबर 55।
विज्ञानात्मनि संयोज्य क्षेत्रज्ञे प्रविलाप्यतम् ब्रह्मण्यात्मानमाधारे घटाम्बरम् इवाम्बरे విజ్ఞానాత్మని సంయోజ్య క్షేత్రజ్ఞే ప్రవిలాప్యతం బ్రహ్మణ్యాత్మానమాధారే ఘటాంబరం ఇవాంబరే విజ్ఞానాత్మని సంయోజ్య క్షేత్రజ్ఞే ప్రవిలాప్యతం బ్రహ్మణ్యాత్మానమాధారే ఘటాంబరం ఇవాంబరే.
ఘటాంబరమివాంబరే విజ్ఞానాత్మని సంయోజ్య క్షేత్రజ్ఞే ప్రవిలాప్యతం బ్రహ్మణ్యాత్మానమాధారే ఘటాంబరమివాంబరే విజ్ఞానాత్మని సంయోజ్య క్షేత్రజ్ఞే ప్రవిలాప్యతం బ్రహ్మణ్యాత్మానమాధారే ఘటాంబరం ఇవాంబరే. మాతజీ, విజ్ఞానాత్మని సంయోజ్య క్షేత్రజ్ఞే ప్రవిలాప్యతం బ్రహ్మణ్యాత్మని ఆధారే ఘటాంబరం ఇవాంబరే. వర్డ్ టు వర్డ్ మీనింగ్, విజ్ఞాన ప్యూరిఫైడ్ ఐడెంటిటీ, ఆత్మని ఇన్ ఇంటెలిజెన్స్, సంయోజ్య పర్ఫెక్ట్లీ ఫిక్సింగ్, క్షేత్రజ్ఞే ఇన్ ద మ్యాటర్ ఆఫ్ ద లివింగ్ బీయింగ్, ప్రవిలాప్య మర్జింగ్, తమ్ హిమ్ బ్రహ్మణి ఇన్ ద సుప్రీం, ఆత్మానం ప్యూర్ లివింగ్ బీయింగ్, ఆధారే ఇన్ ద రిజర్వాయర్, ఘటాంబరం స్కై విత్ ఇన్ ద బ్లాక్, ఇవ లైక్ అంబరే ఇన్ ద సుప్రీం స్కై. ట్రాన్స్లేషన్ అండ్ పర్పోర్ట్ బై హిస్ డివైన్ గ్రేస్ ఏసి భక్తివేదాంత స్వామి శ్రీల ప్రభుపాద్. ట్రాన్స్లేషన్: ధృతరాష్ట్ర విల్ హ్యావ్ టు అమాల్గమేట్ ఇస్ ప్యూర్ ఐడెంటిటీ విత్ ఇంటెలిజెన్స్ and then merge into the supreme being with knowledge of his qualitative oneness as a living entity with the supreme Brahman. Being freed from the blocked sky, he will have to rise to the spiritual sky. Purport: the living being, by his desiring to lord it over the material world and declining to cooperate with the supreme lord, contacts the sum total of the material world, namely the mahatattva, and from the mahatattva his false identity with the material world, intelligence, mind and senses is developed. This covers his pure spiritual identity. By the yogic process, when his pure identity is realized in self-realization, one has to revert to the original position by amalgamating the five gross elements and the subtle elements, mind and intelligence, into the mahatattva again. Thus, getting freed from the clutches of mahatattva, he has to merge into the existence of the super soul. In other words, he has to realize that qualitatively he is non-different from the super soul, and thus he transcends the material sky by his pure identical intelligence, and thus becomes engaged in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. This is the highest perfectional development of spiritual identity, which was attained by Dhritarashtra by the grace of Vidura and the Lord. The Lord's mercy was bestowed upon him by his personal contact with Vidura. And when he was actually practicing the instructions of Vidura, the Lord helped him to attain the highest perfectional stage. A pure devotee of the Lord does not live on any planet of the material sky, nor does he feel any contact with the material elements. His so-called material body does not exist, being surcharged with the spiritual current of the Lord's identical interest, and thus he is permanently freed from all contaminations of the sum total of the Mahatattva. He is always in the spiritual sky, which he attains by being transcendental to the sevenfold material coverings by the effect of his devotional service. The conditioned souls are within the coverings, whereas the liberated soul is far beyond the cover.
Om Ajnanatti Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuron Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupah Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guroho Shri Yutapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragunatanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhano Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare
Hare Krishna. So for the last almost like 2 months we have been discussing about Dhritarashtra quitting home and eventually now he is getting ready for liberation. I mean, this is quite confusing, you know, because we know the way he has spent his life, what all he has done, and Vidura, from Vidura's own words, it's quite evident, you know, what kind of a personality Dhritarashtra was. And here he is getting ready for liberation. In that very same life, you know, it's quite an intriguing slap on the face of all the sadhakas, probably, you know. What does he deserve, you know, how does he deserve to attain liberation? So we will touch this topic today. I'm not going to speak about Dhritarashtra today, but we will discuss the general principle of liberation, and I will discuss from Shri Brihad Bhagavatamrita. This is one book in which I saw that this whole concept of liberation, of course in Bhagavatam it is scattered in various places, but in one place, a comprehensive description of liberation is you know, very, very exhaustive. You know, recently we have been discussing Brihad Bhagavatamrita for the last almost like 1.5 years. And it took us almost like, just to cover this one section, it took us almost 30-35 hours to cover this. And I'm going to summarize it in half an hour now. So, I'll do a very quick background setting. You know, you all know the second part of Brihad Bhagavatamrita describes the journey of Gopakumar. So Gopakumar, by the power of his Gopal mantra which he receives from his guru, traverses through various places. He passes through Swarga, then Maharloka, Janaloka, Tapaloka, and then eventually reaches Swarga, Satyaloka. And in Satyaloka, due to the very strange turn of events, he lands up being the Brahma one day. So, he's made the interim Brahma. And one particular day, but still Gopakumar is very much the cowherd boy of Vrindavan. Okay. He has not learnt much. He does not know much of Siddhanta. So he was in Satyaloka. He came to know about Satyaloka when only after he reached Tapoloka. And he did not know much about Swarga and the higher planetary systems while he was just herding cows and spending his time in Vrindavan, that's all. But somehow he meets his guru, gets this Gopal mantra, and by the power of the mantra he is traveling. So he is in Satyaloka, and in Satyaloka there is a Vaikuntha. Okay, in which the Lord Mahapurusha stays there. So one day in the assembly of Lord Mahapurusha, Brahmaji goes, Brahmaji is our Gopakumar, he goes and he observes that some of the sages are together discussing very excitedly about some event. So he gets curious, he goes and finds out what are they discussing about. They were glorifying a personality from Bhuloka. And this is a big shock for Gopakumar, because he thought that the highest destination as of now that I know is Satyaloka. I have crossed, I have left Bhuloka, come to Swarga, left Swarga, went to Maharloka, Janaloka, Tapaloka, then come to Satyaloka, considering that this is the highest abode. And here are, and those who are glorifying that Bhuloka Vasi were the Vedas personified. The personified Vedas were glorifying. So this was even more bewildering to Gopakumar. So he asked them, what are you doing? Why are you glorifying a Bhuloka Vasi of all the people? So they said, oh, because he has attained Swarga. Sorry, because he has attained liberation, they said. So this was the first time Gopakumar, being the Brahma, was hearing the word moksha, mukti. And he said, hey, what is this mukti? So the scriptures describe, you know, how there is no material miseries there. You know, there is no birth, death, old age, disease. There is no influence of pravartate yatra rajastamastayoho sattvam cha mishram nachakala vikrama. Like that, you know, they glorify the destination of mukti, where there is absolutely no material miseries, no material desires, no problematic material relationships, nothing. So Gopakumar gets very, very excited. Gopakumar immediately starts hankering after that mukti. He said, I wish I get that mukti. So he asked the sages, can you please tell me how can I attain this mukti? So these sages were the personified shastras, personified Vedas. So this is one section in our Vaishnava Shastras where there is a clear delineation of shastras according to adhikar. Okay. So the shastras, it is described that they became four groups. So one group, the Jnana Shastras, they said mukti is possible only by jnana, the process of jnana, jnana vairagya. By that, perform this jnana sadhana and attain mukti. So these are the Gunibhuta Shastras or Gauna Shastras where bhakti is secondary. Okay. But these are bona fide Shastras. They are also written in Sanskrit only. Right. All Sanskrit verses. And then there were, as soon as they spoke this, another group of personified Shastras, they said, what are you talking about? That knowledge which is needed to attain mukti can be attained easily by bhakti, they say. So these were the Pradhanibhuta Shastras. where bhakti is pradhan, bhakti is predominantly described. So they were describing, oh, that mukti can be easily attained by bhakti, you know. And then there were third category shastras who were very silently agreeing with the second category shastras. They were just nodding their head but not speaking out anything. So then this Pradhani Bhuta Shastras became angry on them. He said, if you are convinced that mukti is possible by bhakti, why don't you open your mouth and tell clearly? Why are you just nodding your head and showing some gestures? So, but they were not willing to very openly declare that that mukti is possible by bhakti. So, which actually angered these Pradhani Bhuta Shastras. Then they started left, right, center quoting verses and establishing that how mukti is possible by bhakti. Okay. So, they quote verses like, Dharmartha kama mokshakya purushartha dvijottamaha Hari Bhakti Paranam Vai Sampadyante Na Samshaya. For those who are Hari Bhakti Paras, those who are dedicated to Hari Bhakti, for them, Dharma Artha Kama Moksha is easily attained. And then many such verses they quote. They say that Muktis Tasya Kare Stita. For those who are practicing Bhakti, Mukti is on their palm. It's at their beck and call. Isn't it very clear? Why can't you clearly say, if you know that bhakti is, mukti is possible easily by bhakti, why can't you open your mouth and say it? So they become angry. So in this way, this conversation was happening. There was one fourth category shastras who just kept quiet and they were smiling at this whole thing. And they were the Guda shastras, the most secret of all shastras. And Srila Sanatana Goswami in his commentary, he says, who are they? Who are those personalities who are smiling and keeping quiet? They were Gopal Tapani Upanishad personified, Srimad Bhagavatam personified, and some of the Satvata Tantras personified. They were not participating in this discussion. They were not interested. They just smiled. Why? Because they thought, if we participate and speak, then it would be a very tacit glorification of mukti, which we don't want to do. Because in our opinion, mukti is not that great. And also, they were smiling because they were thinking, we are the personified shastras. We are supposed to throw light to common people and elevate them. We ourselves are not so clear. You people are arguing whether mukti is available by jnana or mukti is available by bhakti, while you should know that mukti is not the goal of life. So they were thinking and they were smiling. So this conversation is happening. Gopakumar is keenly observing all the parties. So Gopakumar's situation is very strange. When he looks at the body faces, their smiles and the bodily gestures of the Guda Shastras, his gut feeling says that these people know the actual answer, even though they are not speaking. But at the same time, hearing the description of mukti, Gopakumar is very much attracted to this mukti. So he really wants to attain mukti. So, in a short while, what started out as a discussion and presentation of their opinions flared up into a very heated debate. The two parties started heatedly debating. So the Pradhani Bhuta Shastras, those who are primarily bhakti, they said, just by chanting a mantra for worshipping the Supreme Lord, by that mantra we can get mukti. And the Jnana Shastra said, what do you mean? Here are people sitting and, without any sleep and food, performing such intense vairagya and jnana, but still after many, many lifetimes they get mukti. You are telling just by sitting in one place and chanting a mantra, you can attain mukti? So at this point, the Guda Shastras closed their ears and walked out of that place. Because it is not only they are presenting their paksha, but they are now doubting the potency of Krishna's holy name. This is Arthavad. Tatarthavado Harinamni Kalpanam. You know, one of the serious offenses to the holy name. And of course, these Gunibhuta Shastras, because they have to glorify the process of Jnana and Karma, they sometimes subordinate Bhakti. But it is an offense actually. So, the Shuddha Bhakti Shastras cannot tolerate hearing this. They close their ears and walk out. Gopakumar is observing. He wants to hear from them, but at the same time, something very interesting is brewing here. Because Gopakumar, he does not know any other sadhana. He knows only one thing. He knows his Gopal mantra that his guru taught him. He knows no other sadhana. With that one mantra, he has been traveling all over. And he has now become Brahmaji also. So, Gopakumar is wondering. He says, I will take care of them later. First, let me hear what's happening here. So, when this became a very heated debate, some of the prominent Upanishads and Puranas, they volunteered to arbiter the whole debate. We will be the judge. You start your argument. So, the debate continued. And finally, they gave the verdict that the Pradhani Bhuta Shastras are right. Actually, by chanting mantra, you can easily attain mukti. So, Gopakumar became extremely happy. Because all that he knew was his Gopal mantra. And he wanted mukti. So, he became very happy. Then the assembly was dissolved. But Gopakumar was not satisfied. He ran after those Guda Shastras. So, he pacified them. Please come, you know. I want to hear from you. So, he brought them back. And he asked them, I have a strong gut feeling that you know the truth about this subject matter. So, you tell, is actually attainment of mukti possible by chanting mantra? And who are you, by the way? And why did you close your eyes and walk away? So, the Guda Shastras say, actually, we are the Shuddha Bhakti Shastras. And the subject matter that you are asking is very confidential. We are not supposed to reveal it to anyone and everyone because it would become the ninth offense, right? To instruct a faithless person about the glories of the holy name. But you, Gopakumar, in you, we see those qualities which make us confident that you could be a recipient of this subject matter. So we will share this subject, that we will share this subject matter with you. They say, we Shuddha Bhakti Shastras, we sometimes discuss liberation, but only to discourage people from pursuing it. So we sometimes discuss about liberation, but only to discourage people from pursuing it. And whenever we talk of liberation, we condemn liberation. So this was a big heartbreak for Gopakumar, because he is now, you know, brimming with joy that yes, by my chanting of Gopal mantra, I can attain liberation. And he was almost ready to chant his Gopal mantra and go towards liberation. But he became very curious. These people seem to know something which may be valuable. So he asked them and they said, we condemn liberation. Like that. He says that sometimes to establish the superiority of bhakti to moksha kamis, we may talk about mukti being easily attained by bhakti. Because we have to attract them also. But we never recommend mukti as the final goal to them. So what do we say? We say, oh, mukti can be attained just by namabhas. So they say, oh, wow, wonderful. But an intelligent person will think, namabhas is not supposed to be the perfect practice of bhakti. If by imperfect practice of bhakti, mukti can be attained, then by perfect practice of bhakti, something higher can be obtained. So they will start thinking in this way. So in order to inspire such curiosity in them, just like, you know, this Brahmana goes to Lord Shiva and says, you know, give me some wealth, and he sends him to Sanatan Goswami. Sanatan Goswami, he says, do you have a means to get lot of wealth? He says, yeah, I have a paras money and go and search in that garbage, it is there. He says, oh, really? Thank you. So he goes, searches that garbage, takes that paras money and he says, I touch anything, it will become gold? He says, yeah. He said, thank you very much. And then he starts walking. He was an intelligent Brahmana. So he started thinking, doesn't Sanatan Goswami want it? So he goes back and asks, you know, you don't want it? He said, yeah, I have no use for it. That's why I have thrown it in garbage. He said, which means you have something better than this? He said, yeah. What is it? He says, you throw it in Yamuna and come, then I will tell you. So he went and threw it in Yamuna, came back, and then he got the holy name. We all know this story, right? So these Guda Shastras sometimes say, Yannama Sakrit Shravanat Pukkashopi Vimuchyate Samsarat. By one time hearing the holy name, even the Chandala can achieve Mukti. So one time hearing or one time chanting is not called as sadhana. Sadhana means repetition, repeated practice. If by once hearing or once chanting if mukti is available, then by repeated chanting what will be available? Right? So, in order to establish that, the Bhakti Shastras also say that mukti is possible by bhakti, but it is just to inspire intelligent mokshakamis to think and understand and go after something which is higher than that. Okay. So they say that and also sometimes we talk about moksha. You know why? Because the joy of prema cannot be compared to any kind of material joy. The only comparable thing to joy of prema is actually the joy of mukti. So because you need a source of comparison, a reasonable source of comparison, therefore we talk about the joy of mukti also in our shastras. But to condemn it, just to compare it with the joy of prema and to promote prema and never to promote moksha. Okay. And he says that the happiness of liberation is just a state of no material suffering. There is no positive joy in liberation. And then they say, in fact, this whole concept of bondage and liberation is illusory. There is no reality to it. Like yesterday, Gaur Vilas Prabhu was quoting this. Parikshit Maharaj asked this question to Shukadeva Goswami in the second canto. Yad adatu mato brahman deharambosya datu bihi yadrichaya hetunava bhavanto janate yata. My dear Shukadeva Goswami, this body is made of matter, panchadhatus. Soul is purely spiritual. How did this relationship between spirit soul and material body happen? Yadrichaya hetunava. Did it happen by chance or is there a reason to it? Shukadeva Goswami answers this question. He says, well, the question is improper. Because you are assuming that there is a relationship between body and soul. He says, Atma mayam ritairajan parasyanubhavatmanaha na gateta artha sambandaha swapna drashtur ivanjasa. He says, there is no real relationship between body and soul. That relationship is created by illusion. So bondage is illusory. If bondage is illusory, then liberation from that bondage is equally illusory. Right? So those who are aspiring for liberation are not the most intelligent people. That's what Shuddha Bhakti Shastras say. And they say that you ask even those Shastras which promote mukti, they will say that those who are aspiring after mukti, they lack discrimination. Then they say, by the way, what is this moksha? What is this moksha? So the moksha kamis, they say, moksha is maya krita anyata rupa tyagat swanubhavaha moksha. What is moksha? Tyaga. giving up the false designations created by Maya. That is moksha. And swanubhavaha, the self-satisfaction that one experiences by giving up all these material upadis and realizing that one is not the body, one is the soul. That is moksha, they say. But we say, but the bliss of that self-realization is very meager. It is not much. So then the mokshakamis, they say, yes, we agree that the bliss of self-realization may be meager, but self-realization is the stepping stone for realizing Brahman. Brahman realization is much more tangible pleasure than self-realization. So that is glorious. So then the Vaishnava Shastras say, look, what is your understanding of Brahman anyway? He lacks any quality, which means he has no quality such as Bhakta Vatsalya, which means if you love Brahman, Brahman is not going to love you back in return. Right? And Brahman has no attachment, right? That's your description of Brahman. Which means, you may be attached to obtaining Brahman. Brahman is not at all attached to you. Right? And you call Brahman as nirvikara. Completely no transformations. Which means, when you are burning your, what do they say, midnight oil and performing all your sadhana, it is not going to melt the heart of Brahman. Right? And you say that Brahman is nishkriya, no activity, which means there is no attractive pastimes which will attract any the sadhaka's heart. This is that personality or no personality whom you are aspiring after. What kind of tangible happiness you are expecting by merging in that Brahman? That is the question that they are asking. On the other hand, Bhagavan is full of all qualities. There is Bhakta Vatsalya, right? And he is not free of attachment. He is not detached. He is very much attached. Tvam Bhakti Yoga Paribhavita Hritsaroja Ase Shrutekshitapato Nanunata Pumsam. Right? So, the Lord is... Yadyad diyata urugaya vibhavayanti tattadvapu pranayase sadanugrahai. The Lord is very much attached to the devotee, as much as the devotee is attached to the Lord. Sadhunam sadavo hridayam mahyam sadhunam hridayam tvaham. That is the personality whom we are trying to establish a relationship with. And he is not nirvikar. Little bit of bhakti in his heart melts. Right? And he is not nishkriya. He is filled with so many attractive pastimes like Damodar Leela. Right? And which is very much attractive to the heart of the devotee. So can you imagine the bliss that one will get by establishing a relationship with this Lord? Where is the comparison? So basically they are preaching to Gopakumar and telling the truth because they see that Gopakumar is ready to hear this subject matter. Then Gopakumar may ask, if it is so crystal clear, it's so clear to me, why do these mumukshus, why do these mokshakamis, why they glorify mukti so much? The Shuddha Bhakti Shastras say, because of two reasons. They are samsara yatana udvigna. They are terribly frustrated with their material experience. And rasahina. They don't understand spiritual rasa. Because that is the unique selling point of Ishuddha Bhakti Shastras. Unless someone understands the bliss of spiritual relationships, till then, moksha is very attractive. Right? So therefore they say, this is not very difficult to understand. Because just like the Swargakamis, they say, Kamatmanaha Swargapara Janma Karma Falapradam, Kriya Vishesha Bahulam, యామిమాం పుష్పితాం వాచం ప్రవదంతి అవిపశ్చిత వేదవాదర్తా పార్థ న అన్యదస్తి ఇతి వాదినః. దేసే నాణ్యదస్తి నాణ్యదస్తి, దర్ ఇస్ నథింగ్ హయ్యర్ దాన్ స్వర్గ. కాంట్ దే అండర్స్టాండ్ దట్ మోక్ష ఇస్ సుపీరియర్ టు స్వర్గ? నో, దే కెనాట్, రైట్? బికాస్ దే ల్యాక్ దట్ క్వాలిఫికేషన్, దట్ ల్యాక్ దట్ ఎక్స్పీరియన్స్. సిమిలర్లీ ద ముముక్షుస్ ఆల్సో దే ఆర్ టెరిబ్లీ ఫ్రస్ట్రేటెడ్ విత్ దిస్ మెటీరియల్ వరల్డ్ అండ్ దే ల్యాక్ ద జ్యూస్ ఆఫ్ స్పిరిచువల్ రెలిష్ ఆఫ్ ద స్పిరిచువల్ వరల్డ్. So the only thing that seems very attractive to them is moksha. So then, now Gopakumar seems to be very clear. So he seems to have developed faith to these Shuddha Bhakti Shastras. So sensing that, the Shuddha Bhakti Shastras say, you know what? Stop hearing from all these other people. Stop hearing from these Dharma Shastras, Jnana Shastras, Yoga Shastras. Hear from us. We are the pramana. Our words, you should accept our words as the pramana. You should accept the words of the mahatmas as pramana. You should accept the actions of the mahatmas as pramana. Gopakumar asks, so what do you say about this moksha? They say, Atma ramascha munayo nirgrantha api urukrame kurvanti ahaitukim bhaktim ittam bhuta guno harihi. They say, even the Atmaramas, when they get the prasadalesha of the mercy of a bit of mercy of Krishna, they also give up their stage of self-satisfaction and aspire after bhakti. Kurvanti ahaitukim bhaktim ittam bhuta guno harihi. Because such is the such are the attractive qualities of the Lord that they give it up and start practicing. So many such verses they quote. దేవానాం గుణలింగానాం ఆనుశ్రావిక కర్మణాం సత్వ ఏవైక మనసో వృత్తి స్వాభావికీ తుయా అనిమిత్త భగవతి భక్తిర్ సిద్ధేర్ గరీయసి. కపిలదేవ్ సేస్ ఇన్ ది థర్డ్ క్యాంటో, భక్తి సిద్ధేర్ గరీయసి, దట్ భక్తి ఇస్ సుపీరియర్ టు సిద్ధి, సిద్ధి ఇస్ లిబరేషన్. నారాయణ పరా సర్వే నకుతశ్చన బిభ్యతి స్వర్గ అపవర్గ నరకేషు అపి తుల్యార్థ దర్శిన. సో దే కోట్ ఆల్ దీస్ verses, you know, and they quote their own words also. In the 10th canto, 87th chapter, they speak the prayers by the Vedas personified. They quote one verse from there. We ourselves have told. Where they say, Te charana saroja hamsakula sangha apavargam na parilashanti. Those rajahamsas who are enjoying your lotus feet, they consider this apavarga as very tuccha. Like that they keep on mentioning, because they said you should accept our words as pramana. Then they say the words of the mahatmas are pramana. Who are the mahatmas? They say Hanumanji. What did Hanumanji say? Bhavabandha chide tasmai sprahayami na muktaye bhavan prabhur aham dasa iti yatra vilupyate. So Hanumanji says bhavabandha chide tasmai sprahayami na muktaye, even though ముక్తి మే కట్ మై భవబంధ నా ముక్తయే స్ప్రహయామి, బట్ స్టిల్ ఐ డోంట్ ఆస్పైర్ ఆఫ్టర్ దట్ ముక్తి. వై? యత్ర, బికాస్ ఇన్ దట్ ముక్తి భవాన్ ప్రభుర్ అహం దాస ఇతి యత్ర విలుప్యతే. బికాస్ దట్ మూడ్ ఆఫ్ యు ఆర్ మాస్టర్ అండ్ ఐఎమ్ సర్వెంట్ ఐ విల్ ఫర్గెట్ ఇట్, బికాస్ ఐ విల్ బి థింకింగ్ ఐఎమ్ క్వాలిటేటివ్లీ వన్, ఐఎమ్ క్వాలిటేటివ్లీ వన్, ఐఎమ్ క్వాలిటేటివ్లీ వన్, అండ్ వన్ డే ఐ విల్ థింక్ ఇఫ్ యూ ఆర్ ఆల్ వన్ వై షుడ్ ఐ సర్వ్ అండ్ హీ టేక్ ద సర్వీస్. So he says, no, I don't want that. So this is words of Mahatma. Then actions of Mahatma. He says, what are the actions of Mahatmas? Narsingadeva offered liberation to Prahlad Maharaj. Prahlad Maharaj rejected it. Lord Ramachandra offered moksha to Hanumanji. Hanumanji rejected it. Shukadeva Goswami was ready, all set. Parinishtitopi nairgunya uttama shloka leelaya. గృహీత చేత రాజర్షే ఆఖ్యానం యదధీతవాన్. హి వాస్ ఆల్ సెట్, బట్ వెన్ హీ హర్డ్ అహోబకీయం స్తనకాలకూటం, దట్స్ ఆల్. హీ గేవ్ అప్ దట్ అటాచ్మెంట్ టు బ్రహ్మన్, అక్సెప్టెడ్ ముక్తి, సారీ అక్సెప్టెడ్ ద లోటస్ ఫీట్ ఆఫ్ ద లార్డ్. సో హీ సేస్ దట్ లుక్ అట్ అవర్ వర్డ్స్, సీ ది వర్డ్స్ ఆఫ్ ది మహాత్మాస్, సీ ది వర్డ్స్ see their actions. And not only that, there are many historical accounts of this. They quote a story of three sages. Their names are Ekta, Dvita and Trita. So once they go to the Kshirasagar, and then they are like actually they are perfected jnanis. With great desire they desire to see Lord Shirodaka Sai Vishnu, and the Lord does not give them any darshan. So Bhakti Shastra say this, you know why? Because they lack Shuddha Bhakti. Bhaktyaham ekaya grahya. Only by Bhakti can I be attained. And another historical account that they quote is Prithu Maharaj. So when the Lord appeared and the Lord asked Prithu Maharaj, what benediction you want? Prithu Maharaj says, look my dear Lord, never ask such a question to your devotees. Because by mistake they may end up asking something which may injure their own spiritual lives. So he says that yata charet balahitam pita swayam tata tvameva arhasi na samihitum. Just like a father knows what is best for the child, you are my father, you know what is best for me. Whatever you think is best, you give me. What did the Lord give? He didn't give him mukti. He gave him prema, which he already had anyways. Right? So he gave him prema. Right? So he says this is the historical account that the Shuddha Bhakti Shastras quote. You see, this is the Lord's opinion. If the Lord thought mukti was superior, he would have offered mukti to Prithu Maharaj. So these are the historical accounts. These are our words. Words of the Mahatmas, actions of the Mahatmas. All of them point to the true north. And mukti is not there in that direction. Right? So, then the next argument that they offer is, think about it, O Gopakumar. If mukti was all that glorious, why is it offered to the demons? Why is it offered to the demons? Why did Agasur, who came to kill Krishna, attained liberation? Bakasur, Arishtasur. It's mostly populated with demons. You know, how can that be a very glorious destination? Right? Of course, then they said, therefore, you understand that saintly devotees do not get mukti, but they attain the lotus feet of Krishna. And you should understand, but such an attainment is possible only for those who practice Shuddha Bhakti. It cannot be contaminated by Karma Jnana Yoga. Okay. So, even if it is, why it should not be contaminated? Why calling it contamination? We all want support. We all want support. Right? We all can, you know, I'm taking support of this Vyasasana. If I slip, I may catch someone. Everyone needs support. Bhakti can take support of Karma Jnana and Yoga. We are not giving up Bhakti. Why take little support? What's wrong? So they say that, well, it's like milk trying to take support of water. Milk can't take support of water. The only benefit milk gets by taking support of water is to get diluted. Right? So milk cannot take support of water. Similarly, bhakti cannot take support of karma, jnana and yoga. They say, karma vikshepakam tasya vairagyam rasashoshakam. Jnanam hanikaram tachcha shoditam tu anuyatitam. So they say, what is the problem with karma? They say, karma vikshepakam tasya. Karma will distract one from devotional service. Vairagyam rasashoshakam. Vairagya will dry up all of one's taste for experiencing the transcendental rasa. Jnanam hanikaram. And whatever is left over, jnana will kill that. So therefore, one should not take support of that. So then they quote this verse from 11th canto of Bhagavatam. Tasmad madbhakti yuktasya yogino vai madatmanah na jnanam na cha vairagyam prayashreyo bhavediha. So therefore, for a person who is attached to bhakti and wants to attain the perfection of bhakti, neither jnana nor karma nor vairagya, nothing he should take support of. And one should not even see it as a support. Right? It's like, you know, some tur dal taking support of some stones. You know, it's called as adulteration. It is not called as support. Right? So then Gopakumar says, okay, fine. You said Atma Ramascha Munayo Nirgrantha Api Urukrame. Even the liberated souls will practice bhakti. So Gopakumar asks, how? For practicing bhakti, you need senses, you need mind and everything. Savai Mana Krishna Padara Vindayor Vachamsi Vaikunta Gunanu Varnane. So without all that, but a liberated soul who has merged in Brahman, he has no mind, no senses, how will he practice bhakti? So, the bhakti shastras say, that is not a problem. So, they say that sometimes devotees travel there to preach. So, they may get the association of devotees. And sometimes the Lord may himself bestow some kripa siddhi on them. And he says that even in liberated stage, there is in potential form the spiritual body lying. It just needs the glance of the Lord to activate that spiritual body. And when it gets activated, they can perform bhakti. Okay. So, he says the Lord's personal energy grants those liberated souls spiritual bodies. Okay. So, even in Brahman, they retain their individuality. So, Brahman, merging in Brahman, is merging in Brahman illusory? No. Do they merge in Brahman? Yes. Do they lose their individuality? No. But because they give up their mind and senses, and because they have not activated their spiritual body, it is almost like that. It's almost an inactive stage. It's almost like they have lost their individuality. It's like a person in coma. So, is his voice sweet or is his voice coarse? Is he very eloquent? Is he not so eloquent? You know, you can't tell because he's just lying down in coma, right? So, but when the liberated soul gains the favor of the Lord's personal energy, his spiritual body and senses are reawakened for hearing and chanting. That is how Atma Ramascha Munayo Kurvanti Ahaitukim Bhakti. That's how they do Ahaituki Bhakti, right? So, then there is some discussion. I will just skip those discussion because we are running short of time. So, then they say that in devotional happiness, how is devotional happiness superior? He says, there is perceiver, there is perceived, there is perceptions, and there are perceiving tools. Four things. Like, the perceiver, he can perceive Krishna in Shantaras, Dasyaras, Sakyaras, Vatsalyaras, Madhuryaras, Viryaras, Hasyaras, Karunaras. So many rasas are there. There is variety there. The perceived Krishna can be perceived in his Balyavastha, Paugandavastha, Kishoravastha. So many avasthas are there. The perceptions, you can perceive Krishna doing various things. The perceiving tools. The eyes can enjoy his form, the nose can enjoy his fragrance. Vachamsi Vaikunta Gunanu Varnane, Karau Harer, Mandira Marjanadishu, Shrutim Chakara, Achyuta Satkatodaye. All these things are possible. There is so much variety in terms of the perceiving tools, so much variety in terms of the perceiver, the perceived, the perceptions. And variety is the mother of enjoyment. On the other hand, what is the happiness of this impersonal liberation? It is plain. It is isolated. It is vague. It is limited. Why? Because you have already given up your perceiving tools. And you are unwilling to activate the spiritual perceiving tools. So what do you perceive? Because they have given up their external senses, their meditative trance, it is actually is devoid of any content. It is devoid of any content. Therefore, they say that their happiness is very monotonous and so undeveloped and so vague, for all practical purposes it is non-existent. Right? But Gopakumar says, but Brahman and Bhagavan are non-different, right? So why, if they perceive Bhagavan, they will experience that vague thing? Shuddha Bhakti Shastra says, yes, you are right. Brahman and Bhagavan are non-different, but these people have given up the perceiving sources. So when a Gopinath is beautiful, but if someone may not have the eyes to see Gopinath, right? So the impersonalists are like that, you know, they have given up their perceiving tools. So how will they perceive? Right. So therefore he says that the real happiness of prema is intense and sweet due to the sweet pastimes with the exchange of spiritual rasa. But they say, but people who are unfamiliar with spiritual rasa, they cannot understand how prema is superior to liberation. Okay. So because of all these differences, they say that the devotee is experiencing prema, consider liberation to be tuccha. Kaivalyam narakayate. So this is, you know, a quick summary of what they say. But interestingly, this is the most exhaustive Mukti Kandan. But did you notice there is one very obvious and most powerful criticism of Mukti which is absent here? What is that? Anyone wants to guess? That which is often quoted. Okay, that we have already seen. Becoming one with the Lord. But one thing that Prabhupada says is, you have to come back again. Right? So, patantyado anadrita yushmadangraya. So, in such a exhaustive kandan of mukti or impersonal liberation, how come they did not mention this point at all, that it is a temporary place and you can't stay there permanently, which Prabhupada says, right? Isn't Sayujya Mukti supposed to be temporary? Won't people fall down from there? If yes, then that one statement would have been sufficient, right? Rest all is redundant. Whatever pleasure is available there, you just tell me it is temporary. Shine punya matyalokam vishanti. I don't want to go there because the soul wants eternal pleasure. Why is it not mentioned here in this exhaustive presentation? I will share some places where Prabhupada directly mentions this. So, Kapila Dev's teachings, 3rd canto, 25th chapter, Srila Prabhupada says, as far as jnanis are concerned, they are interested in jnana yoga. But even if one elevates oneself after a great performance of austerity to the Brahman effulgence, there is a chance of falling down again to the material world. But bhakti yogis, once approaching the Supreme Lord, never come back to this material world, as it is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita. Yad gatvana nivartante. Right? So many other, I will quote one more, which is very, I found it very interesting. Prabhupada gives some statistics here. So this is 4th canto, 23rd chapter, purport. Prabhupada says, when a living entity gives up the material coverings, he remains a spirit soul. This spirit soul must enter into the spiritual sky to merge in the Brahman effulgence. Unfortunately, unless the living entity has information of the spiritual world and the Vaikunthas, there is a 99.9% chance of his falling down again into the material existence. There is, however, a small chance, 0.1%, of being promoted to the spiritual planet from Brahman effulgence or the Brahma Jyoti. So, Prabhupada says, 99.9% they will come down to the material world, 0.1% they will go to the spiritual world, which means no one will stay there. Right? So, if Prabhupada is mentioning this way, then why the Bhakti Shastras did not mention it? Okay? Because this would make all other arguments redundant actually. Right? Temporary place, you will fall down. That's it. Argument closed. In reality, this is not completely true also. Right? We will see some evidence and we will see why Prabhupada mentions it that way. We will see from Bhagavad Gita only and some verses from Bhagavatam. Okay. So this is 8th chapter of Bhagavad Gita where Krishna speaks about two paths. One the path of the sun, another the path of the moon. Right. So 8.21. Avyaktokshare ityukta stamahu paramam gatim. Yam prapya na nivartante tad dama paramam mama. So he says that which is described as avyakta and akshara is the supreme goal, and attaining that dhamma, tad dhamma, one does not return back. So dhamma has three meanings. Okay, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur writes, dhamma means abode. That is how Prabhupada takes. Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says there are two other meanings of dhamma. One meaning of dhamma means form. Another meaning of dhamma means light. So he says, tad dhamma paramam mama can mean one who attains Lord Narayana never comes back. But this verse has relevance for the impersonalists also, he says. Tad dhamma paramam mama indicates the impersonal light of Brahma Jyoti. And yad gatva na nivartante. Right? So, then in the two verses later, 8.23, Krishna says, I will tell you about two paths. One path is the path of return. Another path is the path of no return. Yatra kale tvanavrittim avrittim chaiva yoginaha. Prayata yanti tamkalam vakshami bharatarishabha. I will tell you about the path of return and no return. Okay. Srila Prabhupada here writes in the purport, the unalloyed devotees of the Supreme Lord who are totally surrendered souls do not care when they leave their bodies or by what method. They leave everything in Krishna's hands and so easily and happily they return to Godhead. But those who are unalloyed devotees and who depend instead on such methods of spiritual realization as karma yoga, jnana yoga and hatha yoga, must leave their body at a suitable time and thereby be assured whether or not they will return to this material world. Because Prabhupada, which means Prabhupada does leave that if they leave at the right time or by the right process, they will not return and go where? By karma yoga, jnana yoga, hatha yoga, you cannot reach Vaikuntha. You have to reach Brahma Jyoti only. Right? So, then in 8.24, he talks about the path of no return. Agnir Jyotir Ahashukla Shanmasa Uttarayanam Tatra Prayata Gachanti Brahma Brahma Vidojana, Krishna says. So, one who goes by this is called as the Archiradi Marga. Okay? The Krama Mukti. This is described in second canto of Bhagavatam also. Where gradually they attain Brahman and after attaining there, they don't come back. So this is Yatra Kale to Anavrittim Avrittim Chaiva Yogina. So the Avritti path he talks about Shuklo Krishna, you know, that path, the path of moon is the path of return. The path of sun, Surya Dwarena Teyanti. You know, that is the path of no return. And what is that path of, what is the destination of no return? Bhagavad Gita says Brahman. Right? So, even Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur talks in his purport, he says, he speaks in this verse about the path of no return. The jnanis who go on the path of these devatas, they attain Brahman and don't return. Okay. Baldev Vidyabhushan gives an even more detailed account of this path from Chandogya Upanishad. So he quotes. He talks about the 13 destinations that they cross to reach Brahman. And finally he says, this is the path of the Devas, the path of Brahman. Those who go by this path do not return to repeated human birth. Right? So, and there are verses in Bhagavatam, second canto, 27th chapter, verse number 27 to 29. This is mentioned. I will read only the relevant part. He says, Nishreyasam swasamstanam kaivalyakyam మదాశ్రయం యద్గత్వాన నివర్తేత యోగి లింగాద్ వినిర్గమే. వాట్ ఈస్ దట్ డెస్టినేషన్? యోగి ఈస్ నాట్ అటైనింగ్ వైకుంఠ. అండ్ వాట్ ఈస్ దట్ కైవల్యాఖ్యం? వాట్ ఈస్ కైవల్య? బ్రహ్మన్. అండ్ వాట్ ఈస్ సే యద్గత్వాన నివర్తేత? హ్యావింగ్ గాన్ దేర్ హి డస్ నాట్ రిటర్న్, రైట్? సో దెన్ అనదర్ వర్స్ ఫ్రమ్ ద సెకండ్ క్యాంటో, అగైన్ ద సేమ్ సెక్షన్ ఆఫ్ క్రమముక్తి వేర్ దే అటైన్ లిబరేషన్. హి సేస్ ఏతాం గతిం భాగవతీం గతోయః సవై పునర్నేహ విషజ్యతే అంగ. ఏతాం గతిం గతోయః, బై అటైనింగ్ దిస్ అబోడ్, సవై పునర్న ఇహ విషజ్యతే. అఫ్ కోర్స్ ప్రభుపాద్ ఇన్ హిస్ ఎక్స్ప్లెనేషన్ హీ సేస్ దిస్ టు బి వైకుంఠ, బట్ ది అదర్ ఆచార్యస్ ఎక్స్ప్లెయిన్ దిస్ ఈస్ టాకింగ్ అబౌట్ క్రమముక్తి. సో దిస్ దే అటైన్ బ్రహ్మన్, లైక్ దట్. సో ఇన్ వన్ సెన్స్ నేదర్ ఇన్ భాగవతం నార్ ఇన్ భగవద్గీత దర్ ఇస్ అ వెరీ ఎక్స్ప్లిసిట్ మెన్షన్ ఆఫ్ రిటర్నింగ్ బ్యాక్ ఫ్రమ్ బ్రహ్మన్, బట్ ప్రభుపాద్ డస్ సే దట్. సో నౌ ద క్వశ్చన్ ఇస్, ఇసన్ట్ దేర్ అబ్సల్యూట్లీ నో శాస్త్రిక్ రెఫరెన్స్ ఫార్ పీపుల్ రిటర్నింగ్ ఫ్రమ్ బ్రహ్మజ్యోతి? వన్ వర్స్ ప్రభుపాద్ ఆల్వేస్ కోట్స్, విచ్ వర్స్ ఇస్ దట్? ఏన్యే అరవిందాక్ష విముక్త మానిన త్వయ్యస్తభావాద్ అవిశుద్ధ బుద్ధయ దట్ ఆరుహ్య కృచ్రేణ పరం పదం తతః పతంత్యదో. సో ఇఫ్ యు సీ ప్రభుపాద్ ఇన్ ఇస్ వెరీ ట్రాన్స్లేషన్ హీ సేస్ దట్ దే ఫాల్ డౌన్ ఫ్రమ్ దేర్ పొజిషన్ ఆఫ్ ఇమాజిన్డ్ సుపీరియారిటీ. సో దే ఆర్ విముక్త మానిన, దే ఆర్ నాట్ విముక్తాస్. అండ్ శ్రీ విశ్వనాథ ఠాకూర్ అండ్ జీవ గోస్వామి ఇన్ దర్ ఎక్స్ప్లెనేషన్ దే సే వేర్ డూ దే ఫాల్ డౌన్ ఫ్రమ్? ఓకే, దే డోంట్ ఫాల్ డౌన్ ఫ్రమ్ బ్రహ్మన్, బట్ దే ఫాల్ డౌన్ ఫ్రమ్ వన్ స్టెప్ బిఫోర్ బ్రహ్మన్. సో ప్రభుపాద్ ఇస్ నాట్ రాంగ్, దే ఫాల్ డౌన్ ఫ్రమ్ వన్ స్టెప్ బిఫోర్ బ్రహ్మన్. హీ సేస్ దట్ దే ఫాల్ డౌన్ ఫ్రమ్ ద state of being jivan mukta. Okay, and why? The process is very detailed, in detail described by Kapila Dev in his third canto 28th chapter. What is the explanation of this aruhya krichrena param padam tatah and fall down? He talks about that unfortunate yogi who is misguided. So we know in the process of karma, so you practice karma, then when you are purified, you give up karma, accept jnana. And before liberation, you are supposed to give up jnana also. That is called as jnana sannyas. So once you reach the Brahmabhuta stage, then you are supposed to give up the jnana, part of jnana. But you are not supposed to give up bhakti. But misguided yogis give up that bhakti also. So when they give up bhakti, they don't have a carrier to carry them to Brahmajyoti. So what happens? They quote this verse. This is from Vasana Bhashya, often quoted by our acharyas. Jivan mukta api punar bandhanam yanti karma bihi yadi achintya mahashaktau bhagavati aparadinah. Because they have committed bhagavat aparad, anadrita yushmadangraya. What is that? Because they gave up bhakti. Then how did they reach the stage of jivan mukta? They say because they did not give up bhakti till then. When they gave up bhakti, it got over. Then what happens? Punar bandhanam yanti. They again get bound. That is what Prabhupada calls as they fall down. Right? Another verse he quotes. Jivan muktaha prapadyante kvachit samsara vasanam. Yogino na vipliyante karmabir bhagavat paraha. This says, how do they get bound again? Jivan muktaha punar samsara vasanam prapadyante. Because they have given up the lotus feet of the Lord, anadrita yushmadangraya, again samsara vasanas attach to them and they get bound to this material world. So, in one sense, Prabhupada is not completely wrong. They don't fall down from there. There is just the next step after being jivan mukta is brahmajyoti. So, they don't fall from here, they fall from here. It's not completely wrong, right? So, then this last one point I will just conclude with this. But then why would Prabhupada mention that people fall down from Brahmajyoti? Okay, so this one point, I mean, this is true for so many things. You know, Prabhupada in Bhagavad Gita and other literatures, when it is talking about Karma Yoga, Prabhupada talks about Bhakti Yoga. Right? Why? Why can't you speak about? So, because Prabhupada perfectly embraced the mood of the Parampara and mood of the Bhakti Shastras. Right? So, in one of his memories, one of Srila Prabhupada's disciples, Sarva Bhavana Prabhu, who translates many of the books, Acharya's books into English, he shares his interaction with Srila Prabhupada. So he says, Prabhupada told him, regarding translating, Prabhupada gave me some wonderful instructions that I treasure and try to follow. So how Prabhupada translates, he explains. He told me that there are two ways of translating. One is literal and the other is bhavartha. What is bhavartha? To capture the spirit. To convey the deep spiritual and devotional mood of the Acharya who wrote the original work. What is his mood? Right? Prabhupada said, I prefer bhavartha. To translate the spirit and mood of the writings rather than translate literally. I want you to read the original Bengali or Sanskrit or Hindi, understand it, formulate it in your own words and write it. So this was the instruction Prabhupada gave to Sarva Bhavana Prabhu. So Prabhupada says, bhavartha, I understand the mood. So what is the bhava of the Bhakti Shastras? They just told, you know, when we speak of liberation, we condemn it and everything that goes with it. That's what they say. And what is the bhava of the Acharyas? Kaivalyam, Narakayate, Prabodhananda Saraswati says. Rupa Goswami himself wrote, Bhukti Mukti Spriha Yavat Pishachi Hridi Vartate, Tavat Bhakti Sukasyatra Katam Abhyudayo Bhavet. In his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, he writes that this Bhukti Spriha and Mukti Spriha are like Pishachi. Seeing that, Vallabhacharya got shaken actually. You know, he said, how could you write like this? Because the extent to which in our Sampradaya, Mukti is criticized, you know, other Sampradayas would take serious offense to it actually. Because not all the other Sampradayas actually very strictly stick to the Shuddha Bhakti Shastras. There are certain many Pradhanibhuta Shastras which they refer to. Okay. Not always, but many times. For common public preaching. Right. So, and our Goswamis. Anandambudhi Vardhanaika Nipunav Kaivalya Nistarakav. You know. So, Srila Prabhupada translates this as that they are the saviors of living entities from the devouring mouth of liberation. So, as if Mukti is like a devouring mouth of a lion or a crocodile, you know. Nistar karne ke liye. I mean, narak se nahi, Mukti se. You know, they want to liberate them from that liberation so that they will get attracted to the lotus feet of Krishna. So, the point is that as the Shuddha Bhakti Shastras say, persons unfamiliar with this pleasure cannot imagine it. Right? Persons unfamiliar with this pleasure, the unique selling point of the Bhakti Shastra about the glory of prema is spiritual relationships. But for sadhakas like us, you know, all we have experienced, even maybe for most of the time, even in the association of devotees, is burnt relationships. So, that unique selling point will not work here actually. Sometimes Prabhupada says, what is naraka? So he is preaching to some people in the coal mine. He says, whatever description of naraka is there, it's here right now in this coal mine. So they said, you won't get newspaper there. Right? So there is no newspaper there like that. So, you know, in one sense, even in this material world, you know, our, as sadhakas also, and more so probably in an institutionalized setup, you know, the experience of relationships may be disappointing actually. So, to use that as a unique selling point is not actually very attractive so much. So, keep you quiet till you actually realize that point. And this is not something very new that only Prabhupada has done. There is precedence for this in our Sampradaya. Like Jiva Goswami downplaying Parakiras. It's there. At some point he writes, then, you know, does not exist only. But for what? Because he foresaw, you know, what damage was going to happen in future because of all these things. Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur rejected Siddha Pranali only. I mean, to the extent that when we hear Siddha Pranali, we think only of Sahajiyas in today's day and age. But Siddha Pranali is absolutely bona fide. It is there in our parampara, proper. Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati rejected it. Why? Because to the extent to which it had become degraded. Srila Prabhupada in his Bhagavad Gita commentary, you know, Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga, whatever it may be, you know, he speaks about Bhakti Yoga, right? So why? Because that is the mood of the Shastras. Why explain something which is practically impossible to follow in today's day and age? Like that. So, there is precedence in Parampara. That is not something that Prabhupada only has done. All our Acharyas have done. So therefore, yeah, these are few thoughts I just wanted to share. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna.